You can share your thoughts or opinions with us by texting 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. And let's get started with the top three stories here for you real quick. So starting off, the Biden administration is going to discuss litigation options pertaining to the migrants on buses situation, which we were talking about this before. Just wow. That's like my only reaction is just a wow, because I can't believe that they would go that route when they were doing the exact same thing not that long ago. But they were, it was just a few months ago we were talking about that. That there is, that they basically had put into place a system where to relieve stress at the border, they were taking people from the border and putting them on buses and sometimes planes and taking them across over to the, like to Florida, to Missouri, to all kinds of other states. And now the other governors are doing it. They're like, oh, we're going to litigate over that. It's just like, really? Okay. It just seems very hypocritical and ironic as well that this would even be going on. But okay. Continuing on with your other two, top three stories. President Biden's approval rating has placed him in about the middle of the global pack of leaders. About right in the middle. So he's not hot. He's not cold. He's lukewarm. So there you go. Right in about the middle of the whole thing with the global leader approval rating. And U.S. stocks recorded the biggest weekly loss in months as the Fed meeting looms. And of course, this Fed meeting is where they're expected to raise the interest rate 0.75 points. Oh, boy. And so when they do that, we'll see if that starts to stave off at least the housing market. Look, the thing is the interest rate hike has indeed slowed down the real estate market. We went from a super hot seller's market pretty much nationwide to now a fairly balanced market. And in some areas, they're actually seeing it. They're saying it's no longer balanced. It's flipped in some areas. Not here. We talked to Christina Leavenworth just, 3 weeks ago. She said it's still a seller's market, but it's more of a balanced market that leans towards sellers. We're getting more and more properties on the market, and that's going to slow it down as well. When you have a lot more options for people to buy, then that leans more and more in favor of the buyer. So that's kind of the update right there. All right, it's Pensacola right now. Bobby Rossi, let's get traffic on the fives.
Nothing to slow you down on our roads right now. I-10, I-110, checking in clear. Pine Forest, Blue Angel, and Gulf Beach also looking good, as well as 98 in Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre. If you see something on the road slowing you down, just give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Back with the Democrat primary for president in 2020, Andrew Yang was one of the candidates who now has since announced that he's independent. I think he's actually started a new party. But Andrew Yang, the thing that kind of made him rise to the top at one point was because he was the guy who was pushing for some sort of universal basic income, meaning guaranteed income every month, no matter what. Every American citizen over the age of, I don't know what it was, but 18 or something, every citizen would get a check in the mail or, something equivalent. And he started getting a lot of traction because of that concept. And so because of that, you're actually seeing more and more small communities, in some cases just a city, in other cases even smaller counties, they're starting to implement a universal basic income, basically guaranteed income, no strings attached. You live here, you're getting a check. And there's been more and more of them starting to implement these pilot programs, trying it out. Well, while they're doing that, at the same time, you got researchers who are trying to say, okay, this thing's starting to grow. Is there any validity to this? Is it sustainable? Will it really help people? And what they find is, yes, it probably will really help people. It will help it'll help people who, you know, you're down on your luck, you're having a hard time, or you've got a situation where an emergency pops up, you know you got that money coming in. And so it's kind of different for everybody how it would work, but there would be no strings attached, and it would not be just for those who make this amount of money, or those that are single moms, or just those that are, you know, whatever. And that is how it would actually work better if it's universal. Everybody gets it no matter what. But there's a huge but, B-U-T. But if you're going to implement a universal income program, then you have to pretty much get rid of all your other welfare programs, because otherwise it'll bankrupt the country. And so it was like, okay. So they're like, yeah, it's popping up throughout the country, but and it might be okay overall down the road, maybe in smaller communities and stuff. But if you want to do it on a national level, only way you can is you've got to you gotta get rid of the other welfare programs. Now, so that's one of the big things they said. In fact, I was reading this one report. They're saying just adding universal basic income just adds one more problem to the 100 other welfare type programs that already exist. And if the 100 other programs haven't solved the poverty problem, then we're not asking the right questions. Good point there. Also, I thought this was interesting. Elon Musk weighed in on universal basic income. Quote, there will be fewer and fewer jobs that a robot cannot do better. What to do about mass unemployment? This is going to be a massive social challenge. I think ultimately we will have some kind of universal basic income. I don't think that we're going to have a choice. Universal basic income, I think it's going to be necessary. He said this back in 2017. He goes on and explains, these are not things that I wish would happen. These are things that I think will probably happen. I think that some kind of universal basic income is going to be necessary. End quote. That's actually an interesting point. I've talked about that multiple times over the past 10 years on the radio, of when you continually have more and more jobs that are moving away from, well, basically that robots and robotics and AI can do, then what jobs does that leave left? 10 years ago, I would say service jobs. I'd say it's going to steadily have us turning into a service-based economy, meaning the vast majority of jobs that we do are waiting tables and working in retail and stuff. But over the past 3 or 4 years, what we've seen is a massive shift from even that one, people don't want to do those jobs, but two, we're finding that, oh, automation can handle a lot of those jobs as well. So it's like, oh, okay. So then what will the jobs be in the future if production of products goes strictly to, you know, or goes almost entirely automated? And when I say entirely automated, I mean like the shipping, automated trucks, self-driving trucks, right? So shipping, self-driving trucks, robots that will unload the truck for you. And then take them into the plant. And then the plants all completely automated with robotics and artificial intelligence. And you have some supervisors here or there overseeing everything. And then those products finally get made and they get shipped out to the stores by a automatic driving vehicle. Once again, where when it gets there, there's some sort of kiosk system that you use to purchase your products and walk out. It's like, what jobs are you and I going to use? What jobs will we have? Lawyer, talk radio host. Heck, they'll probably have a robot that pretty soon will start doing my job too. So like, what jobs will be out there? I've brought that question up many times, and I keep thinking there'll be some sort of industry that will pop up that will be something that you don't need tons of skills for and tons of education to fill. Because right now we do have jobs open available, but cybersecurity, that's like the highest level of computer programming. That's hard to get into. And so that's not one that everybody can just go, well, I'll just become a cybersecurity specialist then. Pfft, yeah, whatever. So what jobs will we do? I don't know. And Elon Musk is saying he doesn't think there will be another job area to come in. He thinks the only way we're going to be able to take care of people is production will be happening. But people will not be helping with that production. It'll be systems and it will be robots and things like that. So those companies are going to have to be heavily taxed to help give universal basic income to citizens to make up for them not giving them a job. I don't know. Let's call right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 923. Top trending stories coming up next. Let's call right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 923. Before we get to top trending stories, let's go over to our traffic on the fives.
Well, our roadways are looking good with I-10 and I-110 not causing any delays, as well as 29, 90, and 98. If you do see something, just give me a call. I'm Gracie Wolf with your traffic on the fives.
Coming up in 4 minutes, we've got our Florida State University football for you right here on News Radio 92.3. But first...
Now it's time for your top trending news.
Our top trending news this hour, the security for Queen Elizabeth's funeral. Going to be the most expensive single-day operation in UK history. The price tag to protect Monday's event, more than $7.5 million. They say it's the largest policing operation the UK police have ever undertaken. A new study suggesting that children are more likely to have asthma if their father was exposed to secondhand smoke. The study was published in the European Respiratory Journal. Researchers found that the risk of asthma in kids increased by 59% if their dads had been exposed to secondhand smoke when they were a kid. And if the fathers were exposed to secondhand smoke and also went on to smoke themselves, their kids' risks went up 72%. And Bobby, an Okaloosa County man has been crowned the king. The Lionfish King, that is. Isaac Jones, the winner of the FWC's state contest to determine who could pull the most invasive lionfish from local waters. The FWC crowned Jones the king for hauling in 1,018 of the invasive fish. And they say in total, 25,299 lionfish were pulled from Florida waters. They say that's the biggest catch in 4 years.
That's awesome, man. Invasive species, and they just breed super fast, so that's very good. It's Pensacola right now. Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. It's Pensacola right now with Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Only got about a minute and a half left. Well, I have about a minute, actually, before we got to get to Florida State football. With that, I just want to give you a jobs report real quick. It's really good news. Unemployment dropped. New filings for unemployment dropped 17,000 compared to the previous week. So it's that, like, Trump low of new filings for unemployment. And what the bigger news is, we dropped 92,000 people off the continued unemployment rolls, meaning they probably got jobs, most of them. And that is just fantastic news. We had a little bit of an uptick last week, so I wanted to see if it was going to continue that trend of people staying on the unemployment rolls and increasing the number of people on the continued unemployment rolls. But nope, it dropped, and it dropped significantly. It's very good news for the job market. Can't say so much about the economy or real estate. Those are still trending downward. All right, Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi. Coming up next, Florida State University football.